The first lie is that you're not Nisvadi. Is that when you start to identify Krishna Bhakti Mukta Mona Bhogya Vamshapari, when you turn away from Krishna and you turn towards the material energy, then you start to identify with matter. You start thinking in Maya's terminology, in Maya's ways. And the first untruth is that I'm this body. I'm a product of material energy, and I'm this body. And whether we like it or not, a conditioned soul means that to a greater or lesser degree, we think in terms of this body. Until you become liberated, you think in terms of this body. Therefore, one has to be very proactive in being truthful. Otherwise, the things that we think, a consequence of which are the things that we say and the things that we do, are not truthful, and therefore they may well distract us from Krishna consciousness. So it's a real challenge, because we're very much addicted or we're very accustomed to this way of thinking. I am this body. And that the things in relationship to this body, like my family and my friends and my job and this world and other things, are the reality. And of course, the most dramatic thing that happens as a result of that is, in English, they have this good saying, live a lie. Is that people live a lie, and they die like that also. And the next body is a product, and the next life is a product of that lie that they lived. And unfortunately, the world that we live in, people are not only lying to themselves, but they're lying to everyone else. And that lie is being reinforced by the very institutional and social fabric, so that everyone becomes very, very convinced, because it's a very convincing lie. So if we want to lie to ourselves, then Krishna gives us very good facility to fool ourselves, and we become in that way very easily entangled in this web. And then the Shakespeare says, oh, what a wicked web we weave when we deceive. So just like a spider weaves this web. Of course, a spider can walk around on the web, but we're not like that. We weave a web of deception, and we become entangled in that deception. And that deception starts just with this thought that I can be independent of Krishna. And as soon as I start thinking that I can be independent of Krishna, then we start speaking like that, we start acting like that. So lying is, truthfulness is not just about someone telling a gross lie. Someone stole something and the judge asked him, did you steal? And he says no. Lying and truthfulness and the opposite of truthfulness, which is being untruthful, has much more subtle connotations. And for us, the devotees, we need to be very aware and very conscious of these subtle implications of what it means to be truthful. So be in accord with reality. And of course, when that's absent, when our perception, shastra chakshus, to see with the eyes of scripture, to see with one's mind with the eyes of scripture, when our thinking process is not programmed by shastra, then we immediately no longer in accord with reality, we're in accord with illusion. And the result is going to be untruthfulness here and untruthfulness also in action. So, yeah, I'm going to end just a little early. This is an introduction. Therefore, one cannot overemphasize the importance of absorbing and digesting Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, And having that as actually being the way that we think, until we think, everything that we think is Bhagavatam, there's no way we're getting out of this material world. As long as you can, that's why Srila Prabhupada would get so angry. I think, and Prabhupada was lowest thought. Who cares what you think? Who cares what Einstein thinks? Who cares what anybody thinks? It's still the same old disconnect with reality. So who cares? Who cares what children think? They don't know what reality is. So similarly, who cares what grown-up children think? They may have Nobel Prizes and they may do so many things. Kids can give each other prizes and so on. What does that mean? Who cares what anyone thinks? The thinking is simply a product of the modes of material nature. So thinking has value when everything that you think is the absolute truth. Then that thinking is real. So an adult's thinking, someone who's mature, that should have value. The child's thinking is, child only thinks in terms of playing and selfishness. An adult thinks in different perspective. Similarly, a Vaishnava or a Vaishnavi thinks in terms of Bhagavatam. But that takes a lot of purification. It means, first of all, to stop thinking the way I'm used to thinking and actually reprogram my thinking process according to what you find in Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita also means Bhagavatam. But that requires faith, therefore the qualification of faith. And if you don't have faith that this is the way I should think, but rather this is a nice religion and I should sort of chant Hare Krishna and that's okay, but I just have more faith in myself, I have faith in my mind, I have faith in my abilities, then, and this is one of the things that in the modern world they're really trying to different gurus who are teaching in terms of leadership, who have faith in yourself. Have faith in yourself, but you're an illusion. So what does having faith in yourself mean? Have faith in yourself when you've connected with the absolute truth, then having faith in yourself has some value. But if you have faith in yourself because you're a Maya, then where is that going to get you? They will just get you further into the quicksand. So, good definition. Being in accord with reality and thought, speech, and action. And that really leads to a truthfulness. And I think I'll take probably two other classes to get through the rest of this PowerPoint presentation, not actually a PowerPoint presentation, this is a keynote presentation. And to get through that, and that will be just really focusing on certain aspects of truthfulness, but in terms of our 21 qualities of Varnashram, you can see that there's a lot. These are not just words that have a short definition, and okay, let's get through the next one, and then we've done our Varnashram thing for the year. It requires real application, and it's the same with any type of training that anyone can sit and sit through a half hour long class, and then just go back to business as usual. Unless there's serious application, unless there's a serious connection, and taking it as a type of duty that I need to cultivate these qualities, then all right, it's fine. But it's not an honest approach to learning. An honest approach to learning means that how am I going to actually apply this in my life? As opposed to, for instance, education, I've studied through plenty of classes, and education is generally about passing an exam. And once you pass the exam, then that's it. And even one of my professors in university said, you're not going to use 95% of the stuff we're teaching you, which really made quite a few of the students in the class upset. You got to pass the exam, and then in some specialized field, you're going to work. But Krishna consciousness is not like that. It's not about just passing some exams. In fact, we don't even have exams. That not may necessarily be a good thing, because exams are not a bad thing, but the examination is meant to know how much we really assimilated and how much do we really practice and apply these subject matter. How much do we think about it? So, to be in accord with reality, how much of this day is going to be spent thinking about what we just talked about this morning? Or is it just as soon as we finish here, then it's business as usual, prasadam and everything else, and everything and continues? Or are we? Do we really need to reflect? Do we really need to reflect on ourselves? Because the whole topic is about what? It's about self-development. And self-development is work. You will not change on your own. Unless we actually have programs, and we're assuming that everyone here is an adult and they're intelligent, unless everyone has a proactive program for self-development and how they implement that, either individually or as a family or as a group or in as a council group together. Unless we do that, then it's not. Development means to develop. It's a progressive, dynamic event that's taking place. And until Shyam Sundar is talking to you, then it's not over. So that's the exam. And that's when you know that you passed the exam. And until then, we're not there yet. So self-development is very dynamic, and it really needs to go forward. And the stage of self-development, first stage that we're talking about, although here, is this truthfulness. In terms of compassion, devotees don't need to talk about being vegetarian, but, for instance, compassion we practice when we go out, for instance, preaching, especially when we go out on book distribution. Then we really see how compassionate we are. So very often devotees may go out and they experience this extraordinary tension that they feel by going out, talking to people, and being rejected by them when we're trying to do good for them. And what's that tension? Why is that tension? Because we're so obsessed with ourselves, we're so egocentric that the concept or the idea that other people should come before us is just not our nature. It's once again how we're programmed. So it's called false ego. We have a false ego. And of course the real form of that false ego is this body. So how much compassion have we developed? You just go out on book distribution and you'll see. When it flows automatically with no tension, and that you actually really feel for the other people who turn you away, then that means we're getting somewhere. But as long as it's difficult because we have to be the center point, and that's what makes it difficult. And because we feel sorry for ourselves instead of feeling sorry for others. So we're sorry that we've got a little sore foot, or our ego is getting bruised. So compassion, and this is why it's so important. And of course, austerity, and these are other topics that we'll talk about, you'll talk about. And cleanliness, well, we're going to have a special class on cleanliness. I had one in Budapest to devotees, and from what I heard from my spies, Nivrajadam's ashrams are in worse shape than in Budapest. And here the devotees know more about cleanliness, because there's this great saying, cleanliness is next to godliness. And just to close, in terms of how important, devotees should not think that they're going to get anywhere in spiritual life unless they're clean. It's just an illusion. It's, once again, we're just fooling ourselves, because Krishna consciousness is all about Chaitanya, cleaning your heart. And believe me, cleaning your heart is a lot more difficult than cleaning your room, or cleaning your bed, or cleaning your clothes. So if you can't stay clean, you may as well just go home. Forget it. It's not going to work here. We're spending a lot of time. So you can know how good someone's chanting their japa by knowing how clean their room is. And if it's not clean, then their japa is a waste of time. Or at least almost a waste of time. At least in terms of one lifetime going back to Godhead. So these things are irrelevant. I'm just trying to emphasize that it isn't that they're unimportant. Maybe a Maharaj Rishabhdev had some very extraordinary characteristics after he was a king, and he was exemplary in terms of cleanliness, and maybe Shukadeva Goswami walked around naked. But we can't imitate these things. These are a consequence of perfection, not a sadhana for attaining perfection. Anyway, we'll talk more about truthfulness maybe tomorrow, and then cleanliness maybe sometime next week. Okay, you want to? We've got a little time until 5:30. We need to go.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. It was really eye-opening. You were speaking about these four elements of Dharma. These are the four legs of Dharma. As it's written in Srimad Bhagavatam, that you said that these are the spiritual. Spiritual life is chanting Hare Krishna. And does it mean that following Dharma is not spiritual?
Of itself, yes. In other words, the mode of goodness, this means the mode of goodness, just being in the mode of goodness, you don't go back to Godhead. This is a material mode, this is a material quality, these are material qualities that one should cultivate, but in and of themselves, they don't qualify you for spiritual life. So you can be dharmic until the cows come home. But you're not going to attain a perfection like that. You attain perfection by chanting Hare Krishna offenselessly, but being a good person is the good foundation for chanting Hare Krishna.
There's another question in regards to that definition of truthfulness. So being in accord with reality, you were speaking about that unless we know that we are spirit souls, then we cannot be truthful. Basically, that's what he's saying. If we say that the foundation of devotional service is Shraddha, it's faith. So on the way to prema, what's the stage? Is it nishtha? Is it what's the stage when we start realizing that we are not this body, or when we start becoming truthful and it's not just by chance maybe we are truthful or not?
Well, of course, that truthfulness we can follow and we can practice, as I mentioned. That's why, by thinking in the proper context, which means in the context of Bhagavatam, and realizing you're not this body is a question of what you mean by realizing, but generally being free from bodily, fully free from bodily identification, sagunam samati taitan brahma bhuyaya kalpati, means that one is on the transcendental platform, on the platform of Baba. That's when you're... But of course, other stages of practice become our one's awareness, because not being your body, you only really understand you're not this body when you understand what you are. So it's only when you have knowledge of your spiritual identity that you're really free from the bodily platform. And bodily connection or material connection is only fully severed at prema. So there's always this chance. It's not that a Vaishnava doesn't necessarily need to be truthful, but there's always chance of falling victim to this as long as we're in the conditioned state. Therefore, devotees have to be very careful. And just back to your question about these, that's why Varnashram itself will not make you spiritual. Unless Varnashram is practiced with bhakti, then bhakti is what will deliver everyone. Only bhakti is the liberating feature. But Varnashram is the platform, is the foundation for bhakti. And it's the conducive foundation for practicing Krishna consciousness. And that's why these things are important. Okay, let's continue tomorrow. And Hare Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāya. Śrīla Prabhupāda Śrīla Śrīla ki jāya. Jāya Nitāya Prabhupāda Pemanandī. Hare Hare Hare.